This is GOPBC 2012, home to the Raw Feed Live and Rapid Fire Topic Discussions. You can listen to our shows via live stream by navigating your browser to godlikeproductions.com, or you can listen to our archives located at podcast.godlikeproductions.com. You can also find us on iTunes. GOPBC shows, now in its third year, produced in our live web-based auditorium where listener interaction and participation is encouraged. We are raw, uncensored, where humans from around the globe can discuss, debate, learn, laugh, cry, get angry, and to speak freely about concerns and issues that affect us all. Join the VC team, Phenomenon, Ragman, Pupnuts, Jay, 2342, Kingman Art, Isis 7, Kung Fu, Jadio, Yobo, Libertine, and DSNBC. Because GLPBC, like a poker hand, gets it to you straight. Enjoy the show. Good evening, GLP, and to those listening on the live streams and to those who download off iTunes, welcome to GLPBC's The Raw Feed. Today is Thursday, June 14th, 2012. Tonight's guest is Max Egan, Australian musician, radio host, who clearly paints a fascinating picture of the world we think we know, but don't. It isn't run in a way that benefits human beings. None of it makes any sense, he says. Our system of money, paying to be alive, is detrimental to humans' well-being and unnecessary. His documentary, The Calling, is thought-provoking. You could find out more about our guest in the pinned thread on the front page at godlikeproductions.com, or you can navigate your browser over to thecrowhouse.com. Tonight's BC team, Jay, producer, Isis, live listener questions. JDO's back with us, folks. Hubnuts, your audio stream and podcast engineer, myself, Fenn, and, of course, Mr. Conscious Reality himself, 2342. 23, let's welcome our guest to Godlike Productions.
Awesome. Thanks, Fenn. Max, really appreciate you making it out tonight, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having me on. A pleasure to be on.
Wonderful. Yeah, you've got very high accolades, and I was looking through the thread that was posted on you today, you know, some of your material, and nothing but good stuff to say about you. So this is going to be a really good time tonight, and we've got a lot of stuff to get out there. One of the first things I wanted to ask you, you know, I ask this to everybody, is, you know, what brought you into unveiling the, you know, the matrix of, you know, deceit, or whatever word or spin you want to put at it, but what helped you start to uncover the, you know, the reality and just this onion that keeps opening up into different layers?
Well, it started for me at a very early age. I mean, when I was very, very young, I started questioning reality. I just knew things were not the way they were supposed to be. I remember when I was 4 years old, I was questioning reality. So it was kind of an ongoing process for me. And I was shown a picture of the pyramids when I was about eight. And that started off for me. Someone showed me, it was my mother actually, showed me a picture of the pyramids and said, hey, they don't know how they built these. And I sort of looked at it and thought, that's pretty ordinary. It's just a pyramid. I went out and built one outside in the dirt, you know. But then I started looking into it, and I saw how bizarre it was, and I started realizing that history was completely different to what they told us it was, and it became a hobby for me. So right from a very early age, I started researching history and ancient mysteries. And, of course, when you do that, it ultimately leads to cover-ups. Why would they cover all this stuff up? When you start looking into cover-ups, you start looking into what the government's doing. And it opens up this entire, you know, rabbit hole, and you suddenly realize that the world isn't anything like what they've told you it is. And there's all this stuff lying around the planet that tells you. It's right there in front of your face. Huge monuments that are all over the place that tell you that everything they tell you about history is wrong. And so the thing is, people don't question this. They just say, oh, that's interesting that these things are there. Well, no, it's a lot more than interesting. What it shows is that you're being lied to about everything that you think is reality. So how deep does the rabbit hole go? So then I started looking into this. It became a hobby for me. And I was fortunate enough to, well, because I didn't fit in with school, I didn't fit in with society very well, I became a musician. It was a way of expressing myself and a way of basically escaping from the system. And I was able to find employment as a musician. And that got me to travel a lot. So I got to live on the outside of society, and I always had this hobby of looking into how the world was run. And it just sort of kept this balance of my art and my hobby, which were sort of all to do with expression, really, trying to find out who I am along the way. That's what it's all about, really. It all ultimately leads to yourself. And so that's what my life sort of was. And when I got to a stage where I was sort of tired of touring and playing music all the time and it having to be my life, my research kind of took over. And when 9/11 happened, I thought, well, hang on, this is serious. This is the event we've been waiting for. So now it's time for me to start speaking out and trying to wake people, you know, up to this, because I need to take it a little bit more seriously. So my hobby became my main forte in life, and music became my hobby. So I basically kind of, they just traded places. So I was always kind of awake right through school. I you know, sort of got in trouble at a lot of schools and went through a few schools. I didn't really fit in with the system. And I've always lived on the outside of society. So it's been an ongoing thing for me. And when 9/11 happened, I just started hitting blogs, started hitting chat rooms and trying to tell people to wake up to what's going on and how reality worked. And then in 2008, I found YouTube. And so I was able to make a couple of slideshows and a couple of films. I made one called The Big Picture, and then I made one called Fight the New World Order with the Global Noncompliance, because I believe noncompliance is the real key to the situation. And then I made another one called New World Order, The Final Solution. And I was leading to a film called The Awakening, which was about the nature of reality, when I was approached to combine all of my efforts into one film, The Calling, which is the one that you mentioned at the start of the show. And through that, like, I got offered the radio show, and I've been able to go and speak to a lot of people and reach a lot of people. It's been a real blessing, actually. But it was only when I discovered YouTube that I was actually able to reach the amount of people that I'm now reaching. So it's been an ongoing thing, though, for my whole life, basically.
Wow. And, yeah, that sounds like a fantastic life path so far. And I strongly respect you for, you know, being a what I like to call or look at as, you know, a freedom fighter. You know, peacefully you're expressing, you know, your philosophies and music, and now you've gone to exposing these lies that they are hidden in plain sight, obviously. I mean, 9/11, so many people thought that, you know, these boogeymen from caves came over and used these magical plasma omni cutters that look like box cutters and were able to, you know, take these planes into the Twin Towers and take towers down within their own footprints. Never been done before. Just amazing feats, right? So, and they believe anything. Just being the patriotism out here, you know, you have this fake sense of patriotism. Everybody was putting the American flag on the back of their bumper. And, you know, it's just this fake era of, you know, people coming together based on false, you know, pretexts and, then, you know, obviously the what's going on over in the Middle East and stuff. So, you know, but let me ask you this. Before 9/11 happened, were you as awake to the, you know, the system of deceit, or was that really the thing that pushed you over the edge?
Well, no, I was totally awake to it before that. I mean, I was expecting something like 9/11 to happen. I mean, anybody who's researched this system, this New World Order system that's been ongoing, the whole Illuminati thing, you know. See, when you start looking at ancient mysteries, as I did at an early age, what it leads you to is cover-ups. Why is this stuff covered up? Okay, so what else is covered up? You start looking at things like JFK and just all this incidental stuff that's happening around the planet, all these people dying and all these wars and all this weird stuff. You guys start looking back and the Lusitania. Back in World War One, the big cover-up there, the Gulf of Tonkin, the big cover-up there, all of the stuff that they've done. So, okay, why? How much are they covering up? And then you begin to step back and see that it's a complete facade. It's a matrix. The whole thing is a false reality, and the whole education system is designed to perpetuate it. So I'd always known about it, and because that's where actually looking into ancient history, this is where it leads you. It leads you straight to government cover-ups, because that's why they don't explain all the stuff that's lying around the planet. And all the stuff that is there, it tells you history's wrong. So that means everything's wrong. Everybody's perspective of reality is wrong, even their perspective of human origins and what their civilization did to get to this point. It's all wrong.
Right.
So their whole basis of reality is wrong. So you know this is going on. Then you start finding out things about, you know, the Illuminati, the Rothschilds, the money system. There's been people publishing books on the corruption of the money system for decades. And people read these books and they go, wow, that's fascinating. And then they go back to work. They just don't think about it. They don't think where it fits in. But all the information's there. What happened when 9/11 happened is we're expecting the big event. We're expecting the event that's going to create the chaos through means of which they can establish their order. Order ab chao, order out of chaos. That's the motto. That's the whole Illuminati thing. That's what's on the skull and bones wall and all this sort of stuff. It's all auto ab chao. So what's the event? There's going to be a pivotal event that is going to bring about this chaos, which is going to enable them to be able to impose their final lockdown of humanity upon the world. And when 9/11 happened, you go, well, there it is. It's right there. As soon as those buildings came down at that speed, they came down and pulverized into dust. I'm going, what is this, you know? What is going on here? How can people believe that building just collapsed? Where did it go? It turned to dust and blew down the street. All those big clouds of dust. That was the building. That was the building, the people, the everything, the steel, everything. There's even that one video of the steel beam just dissolving in midair. One of the core columns that was left, it looks like it falls over. But when you look at the video, it's not falling over. It's dissolving. It's dissolving. The steel is dissolving and blowing away. That building basically dissolved and blew away. What causes that? What, a jet fire? I mean, wake up, people. What's going on here? But the truth of the medium of television, people will believe anything. They're expecting all these big bangs and all this mega stuff going on around them. So, hey, let's do a live show for them. They'll buy it. They'll buy anything. We've brainwashed them with television. We've got them filled full of fluoride. We've got them steeped in electromagnetic soup from all the mobile phones and wireless technology that they're carrying around. And they're electromagnetic beings. So we've got these people under so much control. Let's give them a full show and lead them down the garden path. And that's what 9/11 was. And when you look at the dates and the rituals and everything involved in it, I mean, even the fact that you had Flight 11 crewed by a crew of 11 hitting an 11-shaped building at you know, on 9/11, 11 years before 2012. Gee, no symbolism there, you know.
Oh, no.
So, it's all there. It's all there. So when that happened, when 9/11 happened, I just thought, well, hang on, this is serious. I've got to start getting people to wake up to what's going on. And ultimately, it always leads back to yourself. There's a very spiritual message in what's going on. There's a very spiritual solution to what's going on. And it's not a New Age solution. It's not anything airy-fairy. But it involves people changing their perspective of reality so they can actually see what's going on. And that's where I believe the answer lies. And so that's been my message right since day one. That's where I've been trying to help people understand what's going on here.
You know, incredible, and I really like how you're connecting these dots, like the 11/11, 9/11, 11 years before 2012 symbology. I'm sure you're aware of the Fukushima, you know, 3/11/11, 11,311 days prior to the Fukushima disaster, the Georgia Guidestones were erected. You know, and obviously the number one commandment is to have no more than 500 million people, so there's a lot of speculation towards that. And also, when you brought up some of the synchronicities and, you know, the Illuminati or whatever you want to call them, I mean, the Illuminati is just one part of this overall apex of control that creates this dark ecstasy around us, you know, and they feed off of it, like a primordial spiritual level, it seems, not only the financial level as well. But you're right. They do attack the people with the fluoride, the GMOs, the nanoparticulates they're spreading in the chemtrails, probably the stuff they put in the water, the medicines, and not only that, but the Wi-Fi stuff and the smart meters now that they're blasting people with. It's just everywhere, and it isn't designed to help humans. So, and I'm sure you know about the connections between JFK and Abraham Lincoln and the synchronicities of their. That their cabinet members, their lives, their names. Let me ask you this, Max. Doesn't it seem that the people in the apex or, you know, whatever this force is that's pulling the strings of the world at a grand scale, it's so intelligent that it's able to correlate dates, names, times, numbers, letters, frequencies, and it's using it all for, like, its own source to create, as you say, order out of chaos, correct?
Well, absolutely. See, what it is ancient knowledge. This is the ancient knowledge that was responsible for the building of the pyramids and building of all of the ancient structures. These were all based on energy, understanding energy, reading energy, controlling energy. And this still goes on in the world today. If you look at the street symbols, the symbolism that the streets even make themselves, the sigils that are on buildings, the sigils that are put around everywhere through the use of corporate logos, all of the symbolism that people are bombarded with, all of this sets up energetic fields, all of it. And that's a lot of the way it's done. That's a lot of what locks people into the matrix. They construct an energetic grid around them. And so you're an electromagnetic being. You are more of an electrical being than you even are a biological being. The biology is just that which makes up the physical body. The physical body is simply a biological computer that operates on an electromagnetic frequency. That electromagnetic frequency is you. And that's downloaded into the body from the surrounding field. Your consciousness isn't even local to your body. Your body is just tuned to that frequency and it downloads it. So that's how you work. That's how reality works. So everything is electromagnetic. Ultimately, even when you look at matter, you look down at the quantum physics, look at the characteristics of an atom, you get right down through the nucleus, through the electrons, through everything, and basically you've just got vibrating strings of energy. It's all energy. Everything is electromagnetic, and it's all downloaded from the field around us. So when you understand that's how it works, you can see why these sigils and why these grids and why these things are put in place. Now, with sigils and symbolism, giving your attention to sigils and symbolism, you create or you set up or you harmonize with and resonate with certain electromagnetic fields, and you may not be aware of these resonances that are occurring. Even when you look at a logo for McDonald's or something, it isn't just a double arch. It isn't just a golden M. It's actually setting up an electromagnetic field. You're interacting with that logo in realms that you aren't aware exist, and you're doing so with senses that you don't know that you have, because you have lots of higher senses. I talked about this in my film, The Awakening, trying to help to get people to understand how they can operate in the world electromagnetically and how the world is basically an electromagnetic universe. It really is. And, for example, look at the peace sign. The peace sign was presented to the world by Bertrand Russell. It was the people were told this is a symbol for peace. Give this symbol your attention, and this means you want peace. So what have you got? You've got these people all giving this symbol their attention and wishing for peace. So what they're doing is they're acknowledging that there is no peace because they're wishing for peace. So it's kind of a negative affirmation. And they're doing it by giving this symbol their attention. And what is the symbol that makes up the peace sign? Well, actually, it's an upside-down cross with the arms broken. It's a Druidic symbol called the death rune. And this was what was put on Nazi gravestones. So suddenly you've got all these people giving the death rune their attention and saying there is no peace because we're wishing for peace. They're offering a prayer for peace by acknowledging there is no peace. You see, it's a negative affirmation. So since people have been giving this symbol their attention, and they like I said, they don't know how they are interacting with this symbol in realms they can't perceive, with senses they don't know they have, and since they've been giving this symbol their attention, we've had nothing but war on this planet. We've had so much bloodshed since people started giving this symbol their attention back in the early 1960s. It's just been phenomenal. And that's the way symbolism works. When you're giving your attention to any external symbol, anything external to yourself that you believe is going to bring you back into balance, all you're doing is affirming the matrix around you. You're looking for salvation in a source that's external to yourself when it all lies within. The ultimate truth is yourself. That's what you're here to find. You're here to discover yourself. And once we can all discover ourselves and see the perfection in ourselves, realize that we are all perfect. No one can be yourself better than you can. So why would you consider yourself to be anything but perfect? And that everybody is like this, that everybody has their own truth and their own perspective of reality, and all of it is valid, and we can respect each other, and we can realize the system's fiction and simply step away from it. And that's what I believe we've been given the opportunity to do. That's what I believe the ultimate challenge is to find ourselves. Because when we do, we stop supporting this system. But this system is in the process. I mean, those who run this system, they've set up a system and they've convinced the world into believing it's real. And they're using this system to control the evolution of humankind through control of the consciousness, through control of the perception, and now through control of the biology, through things you were mentioning before, such as nanobots and chemtrails and all this sort of stuff. This is where a lot of my research has been going, and it's being backed up, that there is nanoparticulates in the chemtrails, and that we can be controlled electromagnetically via these nanoparticulates. They can build whatever they want in anybody. But, I mean, again, this is nothing to be scared about, because in the right circumstances, these things could be quite harmless. But it's who controls the technology. That's the problem. And those that are in control of the technology remain in control of it, because we live in this fictional, divided society where we don't see each other as valid, and we just let ourselves be governed because we've been taught not to govern ourselves. Might have gone a little bit off topic with all that, but that's basically, in a nutshell, what's going on. And so that's where the solution lies. The solution is to know who you are.
You know, what you're saying there is so accurate in so many different levels, too. I've definitely, the research that I've done the past 20 years has led me down the same path. And, you know, I've studied sigils. I've studied the different symbology that corporations use and how it affects the subliminal mind. And basically what you're talking about is explaining the, you know, the occult in science. I mean, this is, you know, these different energy fields that people will resonate with. That's why they put them in movies. That's why they put these in TV shows and in the music, and they've got it around everybody as this matrix. And, you know, there's ways that you can use them to benefit you, and there's ways that they can use them to imprison you. And I'm really glad you brought up the peace symbol and what that really originated from, because in you know, these higher realms, that's when you have a corporation or corporations that are all intertwined with each other, you know, the money makers, as you say, you know, these particular bloodlines that control at the top levels, the militaries, the different media outlets, the corporations, they fund the scientists, the technocrats and the politicians, basically. So if they want something to happen, they decide what happens, and they orchestrate it at a grand scale by using these symbols and sigils and their ancient knowledge and magic. And we had a guest on here a little while ago from Bosnia talking about the Bosnian pyramid that's over 12,000 years old, and how it emits certain energy and ionizing these particular particulates underneath the catacombs of this pyramid are actually have these healing qualities. And people were trying to troll the thread, saying, you know, trying to debunk it when you knew that they were shielded. So you're right. There's so much stuff out there, and even off-world. And when you brought up the way that these streets are designed towards sacred geometry to harness certain energies, not only from our Earth and our Sun and other suns and planets around us, and then you look at the quantum level, how we break down into electric frequencies, we're over 99.99% hollow. Fascinating stuff. Let me ask you, Max, do you believe that, or from your research, have you found that at the very top levels in the apex, at the top of the pyramid, the dungeon masters, I call them, are they all like a particular, select bloodlines? How many bloodlines have you been able to trace? And I guess we can go from there.
Well, yeah, they're all definitely a select bloodline, absolutely. They're all the bloodline that goes way back to ancient Egypt. It seems to trace back to Amenhotep, Pharaoh Amenhotep. It probably goes back before then as well. But you know, it's definitely the same bloodline. That's who the ruling elite is. This is a group of people that are very without empathy. And the thing is, you know, you've got a bloodline that's essentially psychopathic. They're trained to be psychopathic. And so this is what permeates society. You have a psychopathic society because it's run by psychopaths. And so their morality becomes the morality of the society. And it causes people within it to think pathologically. And that's how the whole thing's controlled. But ultimately, what they've done is they've put together a system that basically runs itself. I mean, you can point the finger at these bloodlines and say, well, it's your fault. But okay, now you've pointed the finger and said it's your fault. Where do you go from there? How do you fix the system? Well, what you've got to realize is that the system only functions because we support the system. The system's fiction. They just made it up. We just went along with it because the psychopaths will always maneuver themselves into positions in society where they're in control. That's what psychopaths like to do. They love to be in control. So we have to see what's actually happened here, you know, and we have to change our perspective, change our way of thinking, because that's the only way to really deal with the system. We can point the finger and say, look, it's the Rothschilds control all the banking interests, the banking interests financed all these things and all these wars happened and all this sort of stuff and industry and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, it's the people within all these organizations that work and do all this stuff because they believe the system's real. And you can't blame them because they've been trained to believe success is all about acquisition, whether it's acquisition of stuff or acquisition of ladders on the corporate ladder or ladders on the social scale. They go to school, they're taught that life is about compassion, but at the end of it, the one with the most wins, and if you can climb over as many people as possible to get to the top, then you're successful. Now, you know, they teach you you need to be compassionate, but you need to be ruthless in the business world, and the whole world is based on business. So you can go and destroy someone's life and feel really bad about it that you did it, and look, I feel really sorry for your family that I've thrown you all out on the street, but hey, it just made good business sense to do it, so I'm a successful person. And this is pathological thinking, and we're trained to operate this way. And people so lost in their own consciousness. They don't know what they are. They don't know their true conscious self. So they feel deprived on a really deep level. They feel deprived of themselves, and so they're always yearning for more. They're always yearning to have all the stuff that they need to finally be happy and finally feel at peace within themselves because they're taught to believe it's all in the stuff. So, you know, we've got to have these societies where I've got a bigger house than you and I've got a bigger car than you and I've got more stuff than you. And at the end of the life, the one with the most wins. So they never find themselves. And that's the way all the people within these corporations are all operating. They're all trained to think this way. So you can't really blame them. What you've got to see is that when you start working within a corporation or within any business, for you to be a success within that business, you're trained to believe that you need to make that business more efficient. The way you make that business more efficient is you maximize profits and you use less labor. So you make humanity expendable and you trash the environment, do whatever you can in order to maximize profits. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about profits. This is success. And if you wish to be a successful human being, this is the way you must think. It doesn't matter about anything. It matters about making your little compartment that you've been trained to operate in more efficient. So you've got a system that once you've put it in place, it makes itself more efficient. It's like an organism that feeds on the energy of the people within it because the people within it are kept divided from each other. They're kept from ever finding out who and what they actually are. And that they're taught that in order to be who and what they are, they have to look for it externally. They have to gather all this stuff to themselves. So it's all completely backwards. It's all completely upside down. Human consciousness has been squashed into a box and it's been told that up is down, that black is white, that good is bad. It doesn't know what it's doing. It doesn't know what it wants. It doesn't know what it needs. It's kept in a left brain understanding of reality, all the education, everything. All designed at left brain, all the entertainment's designed at left brain and sexual stimulation and all base functions of society. You know, love has been replaced with sex. Needs have been replaced with desires. We've got all sorts of stuff that you know, human consciousness has absolutely been brutalized. So you can't point the finger at anybody within this system. What you've got to do is realize what the system is itself. Realize that it's a psychopathic system that is operating to make itself more efficient and make humanity expendable, and that's what it is. And if society is allowed to continue in the direction that it's going, what it will end up being is this corporate organism. I mean, whatever the new species will be, I mean, it'll be this transhumanist corporate-controlled puppet show. I mean, it's just bizarre. But, I mean, it won't last that long because at the rate we're going, in order to support this corporate system, we have to destroy the human race. We have to destroy all the resources that the planet holds, all the coal seam gas mining, everything that we're doing to support the economy. We need to have an economy of permanent growth. But the economy is fiction. It's just numbers. We just made it up. It doesn't mean anything. It's not real. You can't go and poke it with a stick. We're trashing everything in order to support this economy. That's the way the system functions. And all of it is because we're divided from each other. All of it is because we don't see each other as valid. All of it is because we look for salvation in sources that are external to ourselves. That is the cause of the entire problem. And once we understand what reality is, understand what we are, as I said, a biological computer downloading an electromagnetic frequency that is a unique perspective of reality. You are absolutely unique in your perspective of reality. No one else will ever have your perspective. And you are absolutely perfect at being you. You are here to experience you. Obviously, that's what you're here for, because that's what you are. You are you. You'll never be anything but yourself. So that's what you're here to experience. So why invalidate the experience of others in order to support a corporate fictional system that is raping the planet? You know, that to me is the solution. It's so simple. It's so ridiculously simple. People just have to look within and realize what they are, realize how the universe works. And to see how the system works, all you've got to do is open your eyes and look around you. I mean, it's a psychopathic system. Exhibit A, the Earth. Have a look at the place. Look at this place. Look how much suffering exists on this planet in order to support this system. You know, you've got Bill Gates wanting to put a satellite grid around the planet and put GM crops everywhere in order to help world hunger. Yeah, no worries, Bill. You know, what we have to do to help world hunger is take the interest off money, impose an honest monetary system and an honest system of trade instead of this one that we've got now. We've got enough food on the planet to feed everybody on the planet five times over, but we can't afford to ship the food around. We can't afford to feed them because we've got a system based on this corrupt monetary system. That's the only thing that stops it, is the economy. It isn't the lack of food. It's the economic system that stops people from obtaining the food and causes starvation and creates the need to rape the planet the way we do. Yeah, so we need to wake up and put things back into perspective.
Man, you're really hitting things on the head so accurately, and you know, I applaud you for such. I mean, you're right. You look at these people that push these GMOs. You know, people like Bill Gates and others. You know, Monsanto saying, "Oh, well, you know, the reason we make these GMO foods is so that, you know, you can feed these third world countries and that so everybody can eat." And then you get in arguments with people that are going to college and they think they're so smart, you know, because their professors tell them there's got to be GMOs out there. And if you don't believe in GMOs, then you believe in genocide. I can think of a particular conversation that I had with somebody that thought he was, you know, just man's gift, or I mean God's gift to mankind. But anyway, you know, if that's the case, then why did the state of Georgia, you know, here in the U.S., lose over $80 million of produce and agriculture because they couldn't find enough people to pick the fruit? They were willing to pay like $10 an hour and give them free room and board because they were making more money living off of the government system, and they cracked down on illegal immigration out there. Those are the majority of the people picking the produce out there and the fruit and the crops and stuff. So to make a long story short, over $80 million just in the state of Georgia was lost because they couldn't get somebody to pick the damn fruit. So it doesn't have anything to do with the GMOs, non-GMOs. There's very effective ways, especially with the technologies we have, to help so people can produce their own crops. And, you know, you're right. As far as the system, the way it works, it's this organism that's designed to become more and more efficient by feeding off of people and creating all this pain and suffering. You know, why do they put nuclear reactors next to fault lines? Why do they have weather wars? You know, why are they doing all this nuclear testing of and spreading depleted uranium in the Middle East and, you know, blowing people's brains out with drones on the other side of the world because supposedly they're boogeymen, you know, with AK-47s. Just, why are they putting poison in the vaccines? Why do they have a healthcare system that's really more designed to just bring more customers and keep people sick and create new designer diseases? Why don't they use these nanotechnologies they have to better the earth and to better people and just not use it for themselves and create all this pain and suffering elsewhere? You know, it's horrible. So, you know, as far as the non-compliance thing, I mean, I can respect your version of do that because that's the best thing you can do in a sense. But, I mean, does it get to a point, Max, where non-compliance just isn't good enough?
Well, you know, it depends on how many people don't comply. That's the thing. I mean, if one person fails to comply, well, they'll just get eaten up by the machine. But if the human race fails to comply, then things could change. See, it's understanding that these systems are operated by the people within the system. So it's reaching those people within the systems. And the problem is that, as I said earlier, these people have been trained to think pathologically. They've been trained to act in a manner that is designed to make their little compartment more efficient. And that's why it's so difficult to blame these people. And I know what you're fighting against, but the people that you're fighting against, if you go to battle with these people, for example, these are just people that are trying to live their lives. A lot of them just don't know what they're doing. So the difficult part is finding a way to reach this mass amount of consciousness. And that's why I do what I do with the radio shows and make the films that I do, just in the hope that, you know, I'll make a show one day that will reach that new person. Will just cause the penny to drop on what the actual solution is here. Because all of it's based on a lack of respect. You know, the whole human race is kept in a state of fear-based mind control, lack of respect for each other, completely disjointed views of what reality is and what success is. So it's breaking that paradigm that we need to focus our attention on. It's what creates that paradigm, what creates this collective idea in the mind of man, in the collective mind of man. What creates the perception that we have now? How do we crack that shell? Because we can point the finger to all the people. We can point the finger at the Rothschilds. We can say, okay, look, here's the bloodline. Look, Queen Beatrice and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all these people. We know they've done all these bad things, the Bush family. We'll go and arrest them all. Mass arrests like other people have been talking about, which aren't going to happen. Of course they're not going to happen. But even if they did, go and arrest all these people. Okay, now what? What's going to happen now? Are you still going to keep this system based on fear-based mind control? Are you going to put a new dictator up there to say, okay, they didn't run my life very well. Now you get up there and run my life and please do a better job because I'd like my life to be run properly. But I'm not going to take responsibility for it. I want you to take responsibility for it. You know what? You're going to have the same system that still rapes the world, that still creates all this corporate corruption everywhere and still has this society that's based on creating garbage. That's all we do. We pull all this stuff out of the earth and we make stuff that breaks down quickly so we can make another one so we can sell more because we've got to support this economic system. And the economic system just turns the world into rubbish. That's all it does. We make stuff that breaks and throw it away and make more stuff. That's all we do. So we're turning everything that's good and all the minerals and all the resources of the earth into big, huge piles of garbage. That's all we're doing with it. What for? So what have we done by having mass arrests? What have we done to prevent this system from rolling on towards its inevitable conclusion? You know, we can point the finger and we can blame as many people as we like. Ultimately, the people who put it in place did so many years ago. They did so before anybody who is currently alive. Of course, there are bloodlines that are perpetuating this system. But these bloodlines don't even think the way we think. These bloodlines have absolutely no empathy. They don't see humanity as anything other than a resource because that's the way they think. That's the way they're trained to think. That's the way they've been trained and conditioned to think through generations. So again, if you really look at it on a deeper level, how can you blame them? That's just the way they are. Well, what you have to do is realize the system that they or their earlier generations have created is supported and functions completely and solely due to our participation in the system because we believe the system is real. But it's not. It's just a meme. It's just an idea. So how do you get that through to people? How do you shift that paradigm in people? You know, you can't say, oh, look, there's going to be mass arrests. There's going to be the aliens going to come and save you. There's going to be cataclysms. You know, the world's going to change. You don't have to do a thing. Here's all the way it works. And for many people, it's like reading a spy novel or watching a soap opera on television. They get all excited. They're waiting for the next installment. They find it fascinating and exciting finding out all of this corruption exists. And they want to point the finger at someone as if by magically pointing the finger at them, the whole world's going to change. But it doesn't work that way. It has to start from within. We have to change it ourselves by changing the way we operate within the world. This is how we change it. I mean, I can go and point the finger, and I have done for so many years, oh, it's this, it's that. I made through the big picture and pointed, oh, look, there's this Illuminati system in place, and there's all these evil people at the top doing all these evil things. And sure, there are, but they're only getting away with it. The system only functions because of our participation. See, that's where it goes. When you really start researching this stuff and you go down all of these rabbit holes and you look for all of these people to point the finger at and you look for all of these external sources where salvation is going to come from, who's going to save me, who's going to save the world, ultimately it all leads back to yourself. That is the truth that you've been searching for your whole life, the truth of yourself. And it's in applying that truth to the world around you, knowing how to interact with the people around you, when you see injustice, knowing how to speak out against that injustice in the right way, in the right fashion, doing so with respect, knowing that the person who's committing that injustice is likely doing so because they have a completely disconnected view of reality. They just don't know what they're doing. But I'm not going to hate them for that. I'm going to attempt to change the paradigm that they are locked into, help change their paradigm, even if I have to do it through means other than themselves. If I see a police officer interacting in a certain way, I'll make a complaint against the police officer, but I won't do so with vexation. I'll do so with love, because I'm concerned at his action, because he's disconnected. He needs help as much as his victim needs help. This is just the way I approach reality. This is the way I approach people. And I've found it's had a remarkable effect with the people that I've approached in this way. I've got quite good rapport with some of the police officers in town here, and I don't get on with them at all. I don't do what they say at all. If I'm ever in a position where, you know, I'm stopped or they're going through the pub with their sniffer dogs or whatever, you know, a lot of them know me now, and they kind of stay away. We have a healthy respect for each other because I know how to talk to them. And I'll talk to them with respect, but I will definitely not comply. I definitely won't comply with what they want me to do because I've never broken any crimes. I'm not doing anything wrong. There's no injured party in anything I'm doing. I'm in quiet enjoyment. I'm not involved in any controversy. I've got no reason to be talking to police. And they know that now. They know that I will always treat them with that. And so that's just the way I approach them. And so there's ways of dealing with this system through respect for each other that we can move through this. But, you know, again, it's about shifting the paradigm. So that is the real goal that we're heading towards. That is the very elusive goal that we need. We need to shift the paradigm of the people. So, I mean, it's doing shows like this. It's talking to people in the right way. It's finding a concise enough way to explain reality to people in a manner that they will understand. Because if the truth can be said simply enough for people to understand it, people will believe it. They'll get it. But it's finding that way of doing it. Of course, we're very limited by our language. The English language is constructed in such a way that it can be extremely difficult to convey any real spiritual understandings to people because the words that we have in our language, and it's a very mechanical left brain type of language. It's a nice language. I mean, I like it, but it's a very controlled language, and it doesn't convey deep spiritual understandings. It's difficult to explain them in English, and so we're limited by that. But, you know, I think we can do it. I think that the more in-your-face the system gets, I think the more we are being presented with opportunities for change and opportunities to know ourselves. Because, you know, the more you start getting repressed by the system, the more you start losing yourself. And eventually you start thinking, well, hang on a minute, why can't I just be me? Why am I being stopped from, you know, being free? We've even lost our concept of freedom, though. We think freedom is freedom of choice, freedom of what color to paint our house, freedom of what car to buy, freedom of what movie to go and rent, you know, freedom of what job to work at. We don't ever ask why we have to work in order to pay to be alive, why we have to pay to be alive. Why we are subject to all of these rules, why we can't walk on the grass, why we've got to pay to park here, why we've got to follow these lines and walk between these lines and do all these things that we're told to do. Why do we have to do any of this stuff? Why do we have to pay for the basic needs to be alive? It doesn't make sense, you know. So we need to start questioning things on a basic level. And again, it all comes back to fear-based mind control. It all comes back to division. So to me, that is where the answer lies.
Wow. You know, division, first off, if you look at just a few of the different things that, you know, these dungeon masters use to create division, or this system, however you call it, you know, it's religion, it's politics, it's, you know, sports teams, it's, you know, class warfare, it's, you know, so many different things that they use to keep this, you know, mindset fractured. And it does seem, Max, that if we could get enough people to, you know, break out of this system of control and really, you know, start to think for themselves and not just continue to perpetuate this, you know, consume. It's good to consume. It doesn't really matter if you, you know, destroy the planet while you're, you know, doing so because it's the right thing to do in the business world. I mean, those are some powerful words because, just business. I mean, think about that for a minute. You know, ladies and gentlemen that are listening to this podcast right now, if you just continue to think in that mindset that, you know, there doesn't need to be balance and we can keep taking from the planet and, you know, buying all this garbage that is, you know, throwaway material because there's going to be this shiny truck that's going to pick it up and supposedly recycle it. So, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about it anymore. Eventually, that's, you know, there's not going to be anywhere else to put this stuff. I mean, there has to be a system out there where I don't think fiat currency is a bad thing. I think that the way that it's used is not the proper way. I mean, if you could find a way to make capitalism good to where people could benefit and profit off of helping the earth, helping others, you know, building and designing products that are going to last perpetually or super long instead of just, you know, trinkets that break a week or a month or a year later. There's different alternatives, but it's certainly many things you're going to have to change. And with people being as comfortable as they are, where they can come home and have the nice air conditioning and go to the supermarket and get all the food that they need and, you know, and just basically live comfortably and do what they want, they're not going to want to change, and especially because many of them are full of fluoride, like you say, the mind control, whether it be the, you know, the television, subliminally programming them, and, you know, obviously their friends and family members being a part of that as well. So it's going to be difficult to break out of that. And, you know, people are really going to have to get shooken up a bit. I mean, don't you think? I mean, if it continues to go down this really slow path of just, you know, little steps here, little steps there, it's like they're going to continue to, more people are going to fall asleep. And what happens if the group consciousness, if you know, more people fall asleep to where we're not going to be able to break out of it? I mean, you know, just for example, these nuclear reactors around the world that are next to fault lines and stuff like that, you know, this is some pretty scary stuff. And, you know, we need to get people to think about this kind of stuff and kind of go the route that Germany's going right now, where they're decommissioned all their nuclear plants. They're going to pretty much all renewable energy. And, you know, it's creating jobs. It's good for the environment. So, you know, what do we do to get people to break out of that, you know, break into that mindset, Max?
Well, you've got to lead by example. That's the thing, you know. You've got to just start implementing some of these solutions yourself in your own communities. But you need to have the community around you to do it. That's the thing. You can't just jump out of the crowd and walk against the crowd. You've got to break down the division in your community. This is what I've been telling people on the air for 4 years. Break down the division in the people around you so you can all implement these solutions. Do what's good for your community and lead by example in that. And if there's legislation that prevents you doing so, we'll say, hang on, this is good for the community. Who wrote the legislation? Because we don't employ you people to write legislation that prevents us from being all that we can be. What we have here in our relationship to government is a trust agreement. If you're writing legislation that prevents us from improving our community, then I put it to you that you're in breach of trust, and I'll call you on that, and let's go and talk about what you're doing here, because we don't employ you to do that sort of stuff. People have forgotten where they stand in the food chain. I mean, obviously, you know, as John F. Kennedy said, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. And I just hope it doesn't come to that, because if people don't start standing in their power and start standing in the trust agreement that exists between themselves and government, it will lead to violent revolution. But by that time, it may be too late. But what I think we have here is a real opportunity, because this is the first time in human history that the collective mind of man, the collective human consciousness, has been spiritually evolved enough to be able to deal with a real revolution, because a real revolution needs an evolution of consciousness. People need to change their way of thinking. And we've got so many people speaking out on shows like this, and so many people making films and showing people that there is a better way and leading by example in what they do in their own communities, that it's starting to rub off. And more people are beginning to listen. My shows are becoming more and more popular. The website gets a massive amount of hits. My stuff goes viral all over the world. So people are getting the message. And that's how we do it. We've got to create ripples in our own community. We don't want to go down the path of violence, because if we go down the path of violence, the movement will be co-opted. All violent movements are co-opted. If we end up in a state where we have violent revolution, if it gets that far, you can be sure that all they will do, it will be controlled. They will rip down one tyrant and they will put in place another one. And, you know, by means of the revolution, it may get far worse than what it is now. We need to have an evolution of consciousness. We need to have peaceful rebellion, lawful rebellion. We need to reinstate trust back into the equation. We need to understand that this is a trust agreement. The agreement that exists between you and government is a trust agreement. You employ these people to manage your affairs of state for you. You are the nation. The nation of America is the people of America. It isn't the government. It's the people. The people are America. They are the United States. The people of Australia are Australia. Our Prime Minister said a couple of weeks ago when she was talking to the mining companies that the mining companies need to understand that we, the government, are just holding the country and the resources of the country in trust for the sovereign people of Australia. She actually said this, the Prime Minister of Australia. She said this is a trust agreement. She said we're holding the country and the resources in trust for the sovereign people. And that's the thing. You're already sovereign. You don't have to claim your sovereignty. You're already sovereign. If the government's claiming you're not sovereign, show me proof of claim. I'm sovereign. I'm flesh and blood. I'm man. I know what my relationship is, and you're a trustee. If you're a government worker, you're a trustee, and you're holding this nation in trust for me and for my brothers and sisters who make up the nation of Australia. And it's the same in any Western country. And this has now been confirmed by a statement made by our own Prime Minister not 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, and when she said that they're government trustees. So there it is. It's right there. You know, so that's how we fix the situation. Coal seam gas mining, the wars, all the corporate corruption, everything that's going on, we need to put it back into trust and realize that this is a trust agreement and that these governments are operating in breach of trust. And so that's where the remedy lies. We can't make petitions against these people, go and march against these people, vote new people in to operate within that system. That system's corrupt. That system's dysfunctional. That system has created all the problems that we see in the world. What we have to realize is that system is fiction. It's put in place by public servants, and that's their world. Our world is trust. Our world is the trust agreement that exists between ourselves and government. It's a basic fiduciary trust. That's all it is. We employ these people to do a job that we don't do. We're not capable of doing. It's the way you employ a mechanic to fix your car. You believe he's going to do a good job. There's a trust agreement that exists between you and the mechanic. So you pay him, he does the job well, you give him the money, everybody's happy. That's a fiduciary trust. You can't do that job fixing your motor, but he can. So you put your car in his valuable care, and he looks at it. He fixes it because he's a trustworthy person. That's what we do with our governments. We put them there to manage our affairs for us. And I would suggest that if you are in a state of hardship in any of your countries, if you are facing the fluoridation of your water, if you are facing unfair legislation, if you are facing rules and rules and rules and rules in everything that you do, if you are enslaved to a corrupt monetary system, then I would suggest that your government is in breach of trust. And if you call them on that, they have no defense against your actions. But you've got to understand this is a trust that exists between you and your government, you the individual. There is no one person who can stand up and speak for the individuals in the country. The individuals have to do it for themselves. So you have to be self-empowered. You have to know who and what you are and know that your community will stand up with you because you've broken down the barriers in your community. You've led by example. You've treated these people with the respect that you would like to show treated to yourself. You know that everybody around you is valid. Everybody holds their own truth. Everybody is a frequency of the single consciousness that we all belong to, experiencing their perception of reality. Why would you see any of these people as a threat to you? Because no one can be you better than you. So where's the problem? Where is the division? Where does it come from? It's manufactured. We're taught that it's there. We're taught that we have to measure ourselves to all these yardsticks by what we wear and what we look like and how much stuff we've got and all of this rubbish that we're given to measure ourselves by so that we never find the me that exists within myself. That's what it's all about. And once we can see that in others and we can see the validity in others and we can stand as a community, we change the world in 3 seconds. It's that simple.
Man, great way to put it. Absolutely. I mean, everything you're saying tonight has resonated with me at a higher level here for sure. You know, excuse me. It reminds me of the song by Trent Reznor, where he says, you know, you can have it all. My empire is a dirt. You know, I will let you down. I will make you hurt. You know, it's this reality of people really want empires of dirt. It's what it is. And it doesn't have anything to do with your spiritual self. If they're able to integrate man with machine even more, you know, this psychopathic system that you call it, they can just continue to take away more and more of the free will. And I think that that's what they ultimately want to do, or what the system ultimately wants to do, is take away the free will of mankind and of it seems like the animals and the insects of the earth, because they literally want to integrate everything with microchips, brain chips, and have it hooked up to a super intelligent consciousness that they create. And then they want to continue to live perpetually in these, you know, like titanium bodies where they can download their consciousness, so they think. And, you know, we had a guest on a while ago, Douglas Dietrich, which was talking about the HARP system and how, you know, it was originated to control, you know, like the jet stream and do weather wars kind of stuff. But he says it can also be used to control like these darker demonic type forces. If you could, you know, if you could call them demonic, whatever interpretation you want to put on that, I'm just going to use that word because most people know what I'm referring to, darker type entities, dense energies. And, you know, with this level of consciousness that we're in, it does seem that there's higher and lower vibrations and they're at that particular level for a reason. But do you see now this system that, you know, these people in power are able to, you know, harness certain energies that we would look at as, you know, spiritual or whatever, and with the, you know, that kind of intertwines with this transhumanism thing, if they can do that, if they can control, you know, these dark forces, wouldn't they also be able to control us at a mental level, because we are all electromagnetic, basically. We are all oscillating electric frequencies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what the whole grid that they're putting in place is all about. That's what the satellite grid's all about. That's why they want everybody to have a mobile phone. That's what the smart meters are about. That's what the chemtrails are about. That's what HARP's about. It all ties together. See, as I said earlier, you've got a force in control here that is basically manipulating the evolution of the species, which includes the evolution of consciousness, and they're doing it by means of transhumanism. That's what's in the chemtrails. The latest film that I just put out, which is called Transformation, goes through a lot of what they're doing with nanotechnology. And so we have the opportunity to be aware of this. We have the opportunity to change this. And if we don't come into our power and realize what we are and embody all of the things that I mentioned earlier in the show, then this is where we're being led. We're being led down this transhumanist path. That's the option that we have. We've been given an option to evolve as a human race and to understand who and what we are and accept the opportunities that are being provided for us, or to be led down this path. That's what we're being delivered. It's like an ultimatum. And this all ties in with Fukushima. It ties in with the depleted uranium they've been dropping everywhere. See, Fukushima, there's no way Fukushima was an accident. You don't put 52 nuclear reactors in an area like Japan. I mean, this is an accident waiting to happen. And the fact that it's there and it's uncontained, it's still pouring waste into the ocean, why would they be doing this? What would be the point of this? Well, it would tie in very nicely with transhumanism. It would tie in very nicely with the amount of nanotechnology that they've infused with everything. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, they've taken our higher senses away from us through fluoride and through left brain education and through the electromagnetic soup they've given us. They've presented a completely false history to us. So God knows what powers we had. We had a lot of powers. I mean, look at what is around the planet. We had the ability to do a lot of stuff that we can't do now. So we obviously had access to lots of higher functions than what we have now. So they've taken all that away from us, and now they're offering us this cheap, clunky digital version, the internet and all this instant communication and mobile phones and all this sort of stuff. But we can do all of this stuff anyway. We can do all of this stuff with much higher senses and on higher levels anyway. We have much higher ways of communicating with reality. Even like I was mentioning earlier, the way we interact with sigils, but we don't know we're doing it. But we should know we're doing it. That's the thing. We should have these higher cognitive functions. All the other animals do. How come animals can leave an area where there's an earthquake going to happen in 3 days? In Indonesia, when the tsunami came, all of the animals left the area 3 days before. And some of the ancient tribal people also left the area 3 days before. They all moved up into the mountains because they knew the tsunami was coming. How do they know that? Because they can read the world energetically. They can read the electromagnetic fields. because it's a language. You're communicating with reality through electromagnetic means all the time in everything that you do. Even the fact that you can hear my voice, even the fact that you can feel the pen in your hand, the fact that you can feel the chair you're sitting on. This is all electromagnetic impulses being interpreted by the brain. Everything you experience, every sight, every smell, every sound, every taste, everything is an electromagnetic impulse interpreted by the brain. That's all reality is. It's a series of electromagnetic impulses. So when they implant your body with nanotechnology and they bombard you with certain electromagnetic impulses, they can control the technology that is existing within you. They can turn you into whatever you want. And this is where humanity is being led. We're being led into a transhumanist reality. And it's basically they're creating the Borg. They intend to assimilate the entire universe. They tell you that they're doing this. They tell you this is what they want to do. This is the transhumanist dream, to become the singularity. We've removed you from the singularity that you are already part of, and now we're offering you the opportunity to join our singularity that we control. So we can control the consciousness of the universe, and then we will have created God, which will be ourselves. That is the transhumanist dream, and that's where humanity is being led. And because it's coming so visible now, it's absolutely becoming visible, we have been given an opportunity to deal with it. But we have to apply ourselves to reality. You know, there's too many people living in spiritual bubbles, and that's great. We need that spiritual understanding, but now you need to apply it to the world around you. You need to respect the people around you. You need to stand up to what's happening and stop complying with this system, because if it does lead to a path of violent revolution, well, they got all the good weapons, you know, and they only really need enough people. They only need enough people on the planet to run the machine. They don't need you. Why would they care whether you want to go out and kill yourself? They don't care. They'd like you to go and kill yourself because they don't need you to run the machine. They only need enough people to run their machine. And, you know, this is where we're heading. And so we have to stand up and deal with this. And we've been given the opportunity to do so. And I believe ultimately what we need to do is find the truth in ourselves. That's how we deal with it. And this isn't any spiritual mumbo jumbo. This is a simple practical application of yourself to reality. You know, first you've got to know who and what you are. You've got to be self-aware, self-realization. You've got to know what you are. You are a living, breathing flesh being, the same as everybody else in this world. There is no one better or worse than you. And all the people that are controlling this system and running this system, that have put this meme in place, they're just people just like you. And it all functions because we think it's real, but it's not. And this is what, like I said, this is what I was trying to tell people in the last film, and how it's all leading down this transhumanist path. And, you know, peaceful civil disobedience, peaceful non-compliance, we have to remember who we are, and we have to apply it to the world around us. And we've got to respect each other. We've got to respect the people around us, because we need these people. We need the people to wake up to what's going on here, and to wake up to who and what they are. That's the first step, is to wake up to who and what you are, because that's how we can deal with the system. Because once you know who and what you are, you're going to go, well, hang on, this is a joke. Why are we doing this? This doesn't make any sense at all. It's completely and utterly dysfunctional. And it only functions because we go along with it. And so, yeah, so that's the choice we've got. That's the choice, man. We've got to wake up to who we are, or we're going to be led down this transhumanist path. We're going to become the Borg, and we're going to become a cancer that infects the entire universe. So that's not a good option, I don't think.
Yeah, not a good option at all. And I am, for the record, anti-Borg. I do not give anybody permission to assimilate me, or anything permission to assimilate me. I am my own consciousness. So I just want to get that out there into the universe while we're on this international broadcast. And, you know, it seems that, I'd like to get your take on this, Max. I believe that, I don't know if it was 1,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago, 10 million years ago, whatever, but I believe that when we were originally created, we were much more capable. We used 100% of our DNA. We used 100% of our mind. We didn't speak in English or, you know, Spanish or Japanese. We could speak with the mind, and that's really what created a lot of the division, is when you started coming up with words. And I'm sure you're familiar with Kremo Mutwa, Zulu shaman, which speaks of a story that has been around in many ancient circles for a long time, about the original Earth people were actually didn't speak with words, but they communicated telepathically, and they were actually of one sex, which I know sounds kind of goofy, but just one complete being. And then this like awful entity came and created an option. You know, they saw this awful entity come to Earth, and they thought they were gods. And they said, look, you know, you can go in this path or this path. You choose the, you know, this color or this color. So make a long story short, they divided mankind in this story. And that, to me, with, you know, correlates with a lot of other stories, whether you read the Gnostic texts and the Nag Hammadi about how the Archons came to Earth and actually tried to mess with Eve's DNA. You've got the, you know, Anunnaki, according to the Sumerian tablets, to talk about how the original Earth people were manipulated. But they say it was for gold in those translations. I think it was probably more for the spirit energy, would be why the Anunnaki would come to manipulate man. Because if they can travel the stars and manipulate beings to be slaves, they can probably create gold, at the quantum level, because it's just more protons, electrons, and neutrons. So, what's your thought on that? Do you think that we were, modified or messed with a long time ago, and they're continuing to dumb us down and make us more docile?
Look, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I've delved a lot into human origins, and, the biblical stories don't make a lot of sense. Darwinian evolution definitely doesn't make sense. Even Darwin said it was just a theory. There's too many inconsistencies in it. Sure, species adapt to different areas, but really when you look at the genetic differences between ourselves and the so-called lower species, I don't think that it works that way at all. I think that for some reason species are replaced. They seem to spontaneously manifest. If you look through the Earth chain, Neanderthals just sort of seem to suddenly appear. Cro-Magnons seem to suddenly appear. Homo sapiens seem to just suddenly appear. And I think that you can't rule out genetic interference. So I really believe that could have played a part of it. But again, it could just also be consciousness spontaneously creating new versions of itself as it learns more. I mean, it's all open to speculation. And that's all I could really do with any of it. And I think it's fascinating. But again, all of these things, I mean, as interesting as they are, I mean, I wrote a book on ancient history because I found it fascinating. I thought it was a good way to explain to people they've been lied to, for a start. If they could get that, history's wrong, well, maybe they'll realize that they're being lied to about the present as well. But ultimately, all these things are rabbit holes, and I think that we're facing a really serious situation with the nanotechnology, with Fukushima. We've been given an ultimatum. And I think what we really need to be doing is focusing on solutions. The thing is, we can point the finger at anybody we like. I could sit here and do a show. Depends on which topic you wanna focus on. You could go down and you can blame the Jesuits and the Vatican system because there's a big part of it going on there. You could do a whole show on Zionism if you wanted to and say we'll point the finger at these guys. You could do a whole show on the bloodlines and say we can point the finger at these guys. You could do a whole show on the Anunnaki. You could do a show on the Gnostic teachings. You could do shows on all of them. And ultimately, we're still looking for someone to point the finger at in everything that we're doing. And we do this. I mean, it's interesting. It's fascinating to find out all this stuff. But because of the state that I believe is a state of crisis that the world is currently in, I think it's imperative that we implement solutions. Because once we've implemented solutions and we've created a new paradigm, all of the ancient knowledge will become available. All of the ancient teachings will become available. We won't need to speculate anymore on who they were and who done it. We will have those things available to us. As soon as things like the Vatican Empire is exposed to what it is and people stop complying with it, the people within the Vatican Empire stop complying with it and open up the Vatican vaults and let us see the ancient texts, let us see the information that exists, stop hiding it from humanity. These sorts of things, this is what how this knowledge will be gained. And it isn't until we free ourselves from the system that this knowledge will really be gained. All we can do is speculate. That's the thing. All I know,
Max. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to ask you one thing because I think it's really important to bring up right here. Okay, so you say we live in a psychotic system, you know, and clearly it is. I mean, the system is absolutely narcissistic, psychotic, insane, feeds off dark ecstasy. And so the non-compliance thing, I mean, it does sound great. However, when you just said if people stop complying to the Vatican system, then they're going to open up the vaults so people can see all this, you know, information, this knowledge that they've suppressed for thousands of years or, you know, for over 1,000 years or whatever, or for however long that it's been around. But why would they do that? I mean, if the system's narcissistic, aren't they going to look for ways to, like, you know, just go into full-on attack mode and, you know, send the drones out to basically kill everything because they're like, well, you know, the game's over, so we might as well just take everybody out with us.
Well, that's definitely a possibility. That's the problem. But I mean, that's certainly what they're going to do if the system's attacked violently. See, the thing is, what I'm trying to say here is that, I tend to lean towards things like genetic manipulation, unless it's spontaneous creation by consciousness. I can't see anything other than genetic manipulation for the origin of the current human species. But obviously, all I can do is speculate. See, the only truth that I can really know is what is sitting in this chair and the mind that occupies this shell. I can speak 100% on, with authority on this, on me. That's the only truth that I ultimately know, and that's the only truth anybody will ever really know is themselves. All we can do is speculate. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that every single thing they've told us about history is completely false, but I think there's a lot of other stuff that's been put out there to lead people down rabbit holes, because it's good to go down rabbit holes because it keeps people occupied, because if they're down these rabbit holes investigating these things, they're not dealing with the situation at hand. They're not in the now. And now is where you are. Now is where you live. Now is the only immediate part of your surroundings that you can actually deal with. So we need to address the now, because once we address the now and we create a better direction for this society, then all of these things, we won't have to speculate on where we came from. We will find out that the information will come about. Now, if you apply this type of understanding and you apply yourself to reality around you and you treat people in Lakesh as yourself and you build these ripples in your community, maybe I'm just optimistic. Maybe I have too much faith in the humans around me, but I believe that if we lead by example in all that we do individually, if the person right now listening to this radio show begins to lead by example in all they do, and you've got someone in the next neighborhood listening to it, and you've got someone in the next one, and they start creating these ripples within our society, these ripples will eventually reach these organizations. See, just by creating these ripples, we will change the direction society is going. The wheels of this machine will gradually, slowly grind to a halt. And that's the way it's got to be done. I don't think there's any way of stopping the machine from going the direction that it's going, just like stopping it dead in its tracks. It's got to slowly grind to a halt by people shifting their paradigms. And it will eventually reach these organizations, and the Vatican will crumble. The Vatican Empire will crumble. It will crumble because consciousness will rise, and the rise of consciousness will cause it to crumble. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a slow process, and maybe I'm just a hopeless optimist, but I believe human consciousness has the ability to achieve this. I really do. I believe we have the ability to change the paradigm by simply changing our perspective of reality ourselves. And I can point the finger as much as I want, but like I said, we're in a state of crisis. We're in a state of crisis because people aren't dealing with the now. They've got to start dealing with the now. They've got to pay attention to what's happening right now and implement positive solutions to what's happening right now, because that's what will slow the system. And if we can slow the system enough and show the people a better way. So you've got to show them a better way. You've got to lead by example. It's one thing to point at the system and say, this is all messed up. These guys are criminals. This is this. This is that. Obama's this. This is this. You know, Monsanto, coal seam gas, whatever. Point the finger as much as you want. But people just go, oh, this is negative. I don't want to hear it. What you've got to do is you've got to show them a better way. You've got to lead by example in all you do. Implement positive solutions in your own environment, in your own community. Do that by building the trust you have in the community around you and basically meeting the authority head on, bull at the horns, you know, like, but doing it from a perspective of trust. Don't do it within the legal parameters they've provided. Do it within a perspective of trust. What I was saying before, you know, if you're going to impose upon my ability to be me and impose upon the ability of the community to improve itself, you're in breach of trust. Show me how you have the ability to do that. Show me how we ever gave you the ability to do that, because we are the nation and this is a trust agreement. Okay, if you've got legislation, fine, we'll deal with that later. But first, let's establish what's going on here with the trust agreement that is ultimately the basis of our entire relationship with you people. That's the way you need to approach government. We'll deal with the legislation later. Let's deal with the trust agreement first. Let's deal with what gives you the right to think that you're here, regardless of any legislation, because what we're dealing with here is a breach of trust. You know, that's what's going on. That's why you are. You're a government. That means you're a public trustee. See, we've forgotten that. The government has controlled the education system, so they've turned it all up on its head. People now think the government controls them rather than them controlling the government. People don't even know this trust agreement exists, but when you look at it, it's common sense. It's a trust agreement. That of course that's what it is. How could it be anything else? That's all your relationship with government is. So all the rest of it is secondary. So that's the approach we need to have. That's why I believe we have to shift our paradigm. That's how we deal with things. And look, I'll tell you, it's fantastic. I've done years of going and looking down these rabbit holes and being the whodunit, wanting to point the finger. Oh, it's those guys. Oh, wow, it was Amschel Rothschild and they wrote this agreement and all this stuff. It's all fascinating. Wonderful information, and it's fascinating, and it's mind-expanding, and human origins, all of it. It's absolutely mind-expanding, and it's great fun to look down, and it's good for people to look down at and find out all this stuff, because you see how completely fictional this world is. But at the moment, like I said, we have a serious problem. We have Fukushima, we have the GM food, we have the chemtrails. The system is just about in place. I mean, they'll be able to switch everything on soon. Once they get all the smart meters in place and they get everything, the rest of the grid in place, you know, we need to prevent this infrastructure from being put in place. We need to prevent the completion of the infrastructure that is going to be used to bring about this transmutation of the human species, because the human species is being genetically altered right now, right under people's noses. It's being done through electromagnetism, through GM food, through vaccinations, through chemtrails, through HAARP. All of this stuff ties together. That is the immediate problem. Fukushima, the whole lot, that is the immediate problem that we face right now, and we need solutions to these problems, regardless of who did it, because, as I said, once we've dealt with the problem, once we've come into our own consciousness and we've reclaimed the earth for mankind, all of our questions will be answered. And at the moment, there are so many rabbit holes people can go down, and you can find a convincing enough perpetrator to point the finger at down any one of them. Now, I think a lot of it has been constructed that way.
Well, and you're so right that, you know, pointing the finger at somebody isn't going to do any good if that's all you were going to do. And there's all these, like you say, intricate rabbit holes that could be fascinating, and, you know, you're going to get your synapses shooting, and, you know, some people call it doom porn or doom poon. And, you know, obviously, whatever you want to call it, you know, conspiracies are good. And these are the kind of things that will get your mind expanded and will wake you up to the fact that, you know, you've been taught to learn a false reality, and the schooling was more programming and indoctrination but not education. And, you know, just everything's completely opposite, or not necessarily opposite, but just far from what they tell you in the school systems and in the corporations and stuff. But it definitely is good to know what's going on. So, you know, for example, let's get into the genetically modified food. You know, if you just put your head in the sand and don't look for what is genetically modified, and, you know, look at the labels and find out that there's a lot of things they can put in foods they don't have to put on the label, typically big corporations, because they passed the, bills in the Congress that have said, okay, you can classify that as a trade secret, so you don't have to put it on the label, so you're not even going to know you're consuming something that could be very bad for you. But, you know, you're right. There has to be balance. You can't just go off into all these rabbit holes and continue to look and look and look and dig and dig and dig, because it's just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and more intricate, and you're going to find another one to go off into, and you're never really going to do anything. So, you know, absolutely, there has to be balance. You have to find it in yourself. I love the way you say that. I mean, really, everybody is projecting their reality onto somebody else, and whoever has the strongest reality wins. So instead of just pointing the finger and saying, you're the problem, you're the problem, you're the problem, you're right. We do need to look for solutions, and now that we can find these solutions, we need to do something about it. So, you know, whether that be talk to a congressman, go buy him lunch, be nice to him, or, you know, somebody that actually has something to do with passing bills or legislation towards these nuclear facilities, or, you know, get a hold of a scientist on the internet that's, you know, working with nuclear contamination cleanup or something like that, you know, getting the word out there to people that, you know, are feeding their families, you know, genetically modified corn that's got a lot of nasty stuff on it. And, you know, just waking people up, that's good. And we definitely do have to find some answers, Max, because this is scary, man. I mean, just the Madrid fault line alone out here in the U.S. has, I think, approximately 8 nuclear facilities, you know, nuclear reactors close to this fault line. And this fault line is supposed to be pretty hardcore. When there's an earthquake there, it's supposed to be pretty big. So, you know, we've got to find a way to get this stuff in a safe place that you're not going to have to worry about getting out in the jet stream or in the oceans or in the air. I mean, it really is frightening. And, you know, so what do you do when you're working with this psychotic system, you know, and the people that are passing these laws or maybe, you know, have things that could blackmail them to why they can't do the right thing? You know, you hear about stuff like that all the time. I don't know. But I think that we really do just need to focus on ourselves, doing little things to help each other. You know, maybe instead of going to the grocery store, even though it's convenient, find a farmer's market, go to the farmer's market, help the local communities, quit buying stuff that's made overseas if you can help it. You know, obviously, if you need a cell phone, you're not going to find a cell phone that's made in Australia or that's made in the U.S. You're most of this, you know, the chips and all that's in China pretty much. But, yeah, don't go out and buy that 99-cent or $5 trinket that you can just throw away, and then it creates more pollution, more landfills, you know, self-sustaining stuff. I know that we had a guest on here the other day that was talking about some scientists that have created cold fusion devices, which sound like just incredible technology to power for up to 5 years on these small rods, and you don't have any hot particle type contamination. You know what I mean? I think he says it emits particular rays that need to be protected, like X-ray type stuff. And I don't know the ins and outs of that, but you're right, man. We got to get, you know, this could be, Max, a new renaissance for everybody. We could be doing so many things right now to create new jobs that are good for the environment, good for people, you know, cleanup crews. We just got to tweak it. We got to wake people up. We got to get people at these top levels that are the ones that are part of this, you know, narcissistic psychotic system, and we got to find a way to touch their hearts, man. Even if they are crazy and their brains are, you know, clearly that they don't have us in their best interest. I mean, or they don't have us in our best interest, in their best interest. You know, they look at us like cockroaches. That's why they treat us like cockroaches. I mean, they poison the food supply, they poison the water supply, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we've gone off about that enough here for a minute. But seriously, man, we got to find a way to touch these guys at, you know, at a spiritual level and break them out of the system. Because that's really, in my eyes, the most effective thing we can do right now is, you know, obviously we got to wake people up around us, but we got to find a way to get to, you know, some of these different people out there that are the ones, you know, passing the laws, making these, working for companies, making these designer diseases and stuff, don't you think?
Well, yeah, we do. I mean, it's difficult because when people get into positions of power within this society, usually they're psychopathic because that's how they make it to that position of power. You know, they are able to react ruthlessly in certain situations. They have ruthlessly good business sense. You know, and that is pathological thinking. So it's people that are heavily infected by the pathogen of this psychopathic system that are elevated to positions of control because they know these people will rule with an iron fist, so to speak. So what's needed is for people within the system to realize the system's fiction, to realize that it is pathological thinking. You know, like when a police officer comes to your house or goes to someone's house and they have to throw them out of their house because they haven't paid the mortgage to the bank. And the poor police officer feels terrible about it because this person's going to go out on the street. It's the middle of winter. They've got no relatives. They're going to go and freeze to death or end up in a homeless shelter. And I feel terrible about having to throw you out. But it says on this piece of paper here that I have to throw you out. So I have no choice. So that's pathological thinking. You know, the officer needs to think, well, why does this law exist? Why does this legislation exist? How did this legislation get in place? Let's follow the legislation up the chain of command and find who supported this legislation all the way up and who enacted it, and let's eliminate them from a position of power because they're acting pathologically. They are making humanity expendable in order to support an economic model. So therefore, the economic model is flawed because the system was apparently created by mankind in order to service mankind's needs. And it appears to be doing exactly the opposite. It seems to be servicing its own needs and making mankind the most expendable thing within its parameters. See, that's the way people need to think. And that's actually what's going on. But people are trained not to think this way because they are trained to think pathologically. The only way they can be trained not to think pathologically is to be aware that the pathogen exists, to be aware that it is a psychopathic system. See, people aren't aware of the existence of this psychopathy that exists within the system upon which the system is actually founded because, as I said earlier, it's psychopathic consciousnesses that control the system at the very top. So therefore, their morality becomes the morality. It permeates the whole morality of the whole system. And this affects the minds of the people who operate within the system like a pathogen. And that's it. The only way to inoculate yourself against it is to be aware of its existence, because that's how a virus functions. A virus functions because people don't know it's there. And the virus will always make the host crave what the virus needs in order to function. So the virus needs energy. The virus needs the energy of the people. The pathogen needs the energy of the people. So the people harvest energy from other people. You know, people will enjoy exercising a feeling of power over someone else. You know, you put someone in control of a company, after you've taken all their rights away, you've taken everything away from them that makes them a human being, and then you elevate them into a position where they are now in control of others, and they will behave pathologically. They will extract energy from the people below them because they can, right? And that's what our society is designed to do. It's designed to create people who think this way. It's sociopathic thinking. It's pathological thinking, sociopathic actions. It's a sociopathic society based on psychopathic principles. And even saying, look, the people at the top look down at us and look at us like cockroaches, I don't even think they think of us like cockroaches. That would mean that they look on us with disdain. I don't even think they look on us with disdain. They just don't acknowledge us. They don't acknowledge us as even being conscious. It's like an ant farm to them. They just, well, like, you know what I'm saying? They don't even think that way. It's the way we think about cattle. It isn't that we harvest cattle because we dislike the cattle and view them as cockroaches. It's just what we do. You know, we pour dust on an ant farm because the ants are getting into the bread. It's just what we do. That's the way they look at it. They don't have empathy, so they don't even think of us as cockroaches. It's like we don't exist to them. It's like we're a lower subspecies, and they're turning us into something else that is more usable for them. If we don't, you know, if we don't choose to come into our power, this is where we're going. So that's why directing hatred towards these people, it's the wrong thing. They like the hatred. They like the energy. They like that electromagnetic current. Don't go there. That's not the way to fix it. The way to fix it is to know who and what you are. It always comes back to this, because once you know who and what you are, all the division breaks down between yourself and your neighbors, and once they know who and what they are, then the whole world changes. It's so ridiculously simple. But people just can't see the forest for the trees. And so you've really got to step back when you're looking at this whole system. And it's a diabolically clever system created by a totally pathological mind, a totally psychopathic mind, but it functions completely, purely, utterly, 100% on the energy that we give it due to our belief that the system is real.
Well, you know, you're so right. The energy we feed it just makes it stronger and it perpetuates. And the only reason I said earlier that they look at us like cockroaches is, I don't remember which prince it was. He said that he wanted to come back as a deadly virus and kill off the human race. So clearly they don't look at themselves as even humans. I mean, it would appear to me, otherwise they wouldn't make comments like that. I mean, I can see what you're saying. You know, most of them just look at us like cattle. Okay, it's just, you know, a part of the business system. You know, nothing good or bad towards it. It is what it is. It's product. It's just to feed the system. So I could see that for sure, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. So, I mean, I get really angry with some of the things these people have done. I mean, we all do. Of course we do. And I'm not saying, oh, don't, you know, be a pacifist and all this sort of stuff. I'm not trying to give you some new age philosophy here. I'm just trying to get people to step back a little bit and realize that it isn't even, I mean, they don't even give us the respect of a cockroach. We just don't exist to them. And so you can't say what they're doing is consciously malicious. They're just doing what they do. You know, they are like an alien species. They are like a completely separate version of the human race. It's like there are two different species of humanity on the planet at the moment. There's the controlling species and those who are not controlled by this species. This is what it's like. And they don't even give us the respect of cockroaches. They don't do what they do maliciously. They just do it because it makes sense to do it. It makes good business sense. If you want to control the planet and all the resources, you need to populate the planet with enough people to build the infrastructure for you. And then once the infrastructure is in place, you design a system whereby the infrastructure consciously makes itself more efficient. And then you eliminate the population that you don't need. You only need enough to run the infrastructure so that you've got your little paradise on planet. And you can indulge yourself to the height of all your pathological perversions as much as you like. That's what they're doing. And it is like there's a separate species on the planet. But the solution really is for us to stop giving the system our energy. And to me, the thing that's been done to the human race is we've been divided and conquered. We are all divided from each other. Even within our societies, we all live in these little separate boxes and the neighbors don't talk to the other neighbors because they may look different to them or drive a different car that we don't like or watch a different TV show that we don't like or be of a different skin color or a different religion or whatever else we can concoct to keep the people divided, you know. I mean, it's all fiction and none of it's real. You know, what's real is you and the truth that is yourself and the perfection that is you that you're prevented from ever discovering because you're kept in this divided society looking for your salvation from an external source because you've been trained to do so. And you've been trained to act pathologically, trained to act sociopathically, trained to be divided from everybody else. And this is the way it is. This is the way our society functions. It's when people can look back and realize that. That's when we can change it. You know, that's when we can realize that the system is fiction. It only functions because we give it our energy. All we have to do is give energy to each other, treat each other with respect. Everything that about this society is founded on division, is founded on fear-based mind control and divisionism, all of it. So you're in constant fear of not paying the bills, fear of not looking the right way, fear of living up to the expectations of your parents or your neighbors, or fear of not fitting in with your peers or, you know, whatever. It's always fear. I mean, there's always something there dripping in the back of people's minds. And basically because life has been turned into commerce. You know, everybody's life is centered around commerce. You have to pay to be here for a start. So if you're just sitting around philosophizing, well, how are you going to eat? How are you going to pay the rent? You're not going to have anywhere to live. So don't think about reality. Don't think about anything. Just get out there on the grindstone because you're not going to survive if you don't. So there's the basic fear of the whole society is founded on right from the word go, just the fear of not having enough paper in order to put food on the table, not having enough paper to live in the abundance that the paper deprives you of being in because you believe you need this stuff to have everything the world gives you for free, you know, so... Very clever, very clever.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And with the two different societies that, you know, pretty much you've got the elitistocrats and the peasant class that most likely look at it as, you know, stock, cattle. Do you believe that there's a possibility that these, you know, you look back at the, you know, these ancient pyramids, these, you know, Machu Picchu, the stuff that happened, you know, these incredible pyramids in Mexico and all over the world. I mean, they've got them in China. They've got the ones underneath the coast of Japan. So do you think that maybe the people that, you know, are still in power today were in power back then and, you know, prehistory, the same people have, you know, kind of kept these technologies for and still have these technologies, but they're the ones running the show. So it's like literally to them, as you say, it's a system. And, you know, once again, the pharaohs of old are the pharaohs of now. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Well, yeah, look, I think that a lot of that old technology still exists. I think that most of the cities that are beneath the earth and possibly even the pyramids as well were all built before the last cataclysm, which I believe to be around 11,500 years ago. I think that's where things really started to go wrong. I think that we had much higher levels of consciousness and much higher levels of technology before the cataclysm. When that cataclysm, which would be classed as the flood of Noah, which exists in all cultures, the great flood, that flood is what's seen to bury most of these ancient cities, the cities off Indonesia, the cities off Japan, the cities that are in the Mediterranean. I mean, there's sunken cities all over the place. And people are looking for Atlantis. I mean, it's everywhere. There's Atlantis all over the world. There's sunken cities literally all over the planet. And so I think that's is where we went wrong. What I believe happened is that we lost a lot of our shaman. We lost a lot of our connection to these ancient wisdoms that were common knowledge within all of our cultures, which would have essentially been tribal cultures. And we lost that knowledge. I believe that there were probably pockets of civilization that were left after the cataclysm that were completely in fear. They had no shamans. They did not understand reality. They did not understand what had just happened to them. And they started building fear-based societies. They started introducing kingship and all this sort of stuff. And that's where it all began to go wrong, because one of the jobs of the shaman used to be to weed out the psychopaths in society. The shaman would see which children within the village were behaving psychopathically, and these people would be prevented from ever achieving any positions of power. And when you didn't have shaman to recognize these psychopathic consciousnesses that were appearing within society, then there was no way to eliminate these psychopaths from the society, and they elevate themselves into positions of power, because that's what psychopaths would always do. And psychopaths recognize other psychopaths. A psychopath will recognize another psychopath in the crowd. They give off a different energy. They have a different dimension to their eyes, and they will always recognize each other, and they will coalesce, and they will join in union, and they will create psychopathic businesses. A psychopath within a business or within a government will always elevate psychopaths below him to positions of power. This is what happened when we lost our shamans. So we created a culture of like a hierarchical culture that was based in fear-based mind control, put on the people by the psychopaths that run the society, because as I said, when you've got a psychopath running a society, their morality affects the consciousness of the people within the society like a pathogen, and they're very subtle. They'll do this over a slow period of time. Very, very, very calculating, very cold, very lacking in empathy. And so they create these cultures, and then they go out and they take over other cultures. They see everybody, every other culture that threatens their existence, anything that might have the power to threaten their existence, even if it doesn't threaten their existence, they see it as a threat to themselves. And so they go out and they invade and they take over. And that's what we've seen. That's what we've seen Western society do. We've seen Western society basically go out and impose itself upon the rest of the world in a mistaken belief that Western society is good. When Western society is just, I mean, that's everything that's wrong with the planet. I mean, I love technology, nothing wrong with technology, but technology's got nothing to do with Western society, you know?
I just wanted to add to that, too, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but it not just the Western society, but also the Eastern society. I mean, you look at the natives around the world that have been, you know, exterminated. And I read an article just a few months ago about how these shaman, like 18 shaman in South America were taken out somehow, you know, or not somehow, but by somebody for some nefarious reason. So it certainly seems to me that the psychotic system doesn't want any shamans to be around, because you're right that, you know, what you're saying about how pre-times these shamans would be there to point out the psychopaths and not let them in power. Now, that makes so much sense. I mean, because psychopaths, as you say, they bring out a different, you know, energy or whatever. Most people maybe won't be able to pick that up, but a shaman that's spiritual and connected to, you know, the different dimensions and realms, and it, because he is such a spiritual being, or she is such a spiritual being, that she can or he can find those kind of people and find those kind of energies. You know, I never had a chance to meet one of my great-great-grandmas, but she was a shaman of a tribe in Oklahoma. She was a medicine woman, and, you know, I don't know if that's kind of resonated with me, and I can kind of feel it in the DNA, but I actually just always felt Native roots, but I didn't even find out until a couple years ago that I had Native roots. You know what I mean? So no one had ever told me. I had to find out from my grandma, and she said, yeah, sure enough, your great-great-great-grandma was a medicine woman for a tribe in Oklahoma. So it's sad, man. It really is sad, Max, that you know, this system is being taken over by a foreign construct that wants to assimilate everything. And people's freedoms and independence and what's good and pure and whole is being attacked at every level. You know, we've got to keep this spark strong. We've got to keep the people out there. You know, give them faith and say, look, you know, we can persevere through this this Borg cube that's trying to assimilate us. You know, we're not going to let them solder us into this motherboard of deceit. So I just love talking to people like you. Absolutely. Yes, Finn.
Okay, sorry to step on you. Can we move to questions, if you don't mind? ISIS has a lot of them.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. We're going to go ahead and go to guest questions now, Max.
Not a problem.
Hello, Max. My first question is, does he consider the Emerald Tablets of Troth legit or a hoax?
Look, again, all I can do is speculate. Very interesting. There's a lot of wonderful knowledge in the Emerald Tablets. But again, I mean, I can only speculate. It's very likely that there's a lot of truth in it. But again, it's another rabbit hole. You know, I think all will be revealed. I absolutely believe all will be revealed once we step into the now. Now is what everybody forgets. Now is where the solutions lie. Now is where you are. And when we are looking for solutions from an outside source, anything external for ourselves, we're not in the now. We're not in this place we need to be. I think all will be revealed when we can go into that place. Look, I've read the Emerald Tablets. A lot of great information in there. It's a good understanding of reality to have. But what you've got to understand is how do you apply it to the now? Because if it has importance, then that's where the importance lies.
Okay, thank you. Someone wants to know if you know about the abduction story from a guy from North Queensland, Australia, called Michael Desmarket.
The name rings a bell. I can't say that I can say I'm completely familiar with the story, but the name does ring a bell, so perhaps I've abduction to the ninth planet. Yeah, look, I don't know what to make of people's abduction stories. I mean, I've seen a UFO myself in broad daylight. I know UFOs exist. I'm not quite sure who pilots them. Abduction to the ninth planet, I don't know. Personally, from my research, I don't believe that anybody in a human incarnation can actually leave this planet. That's what my research is leading me to believe. I think this is what a lot of Egyptian culture was based on, was ways of escaping this planet. This is indeed a prison planet in its current form. It's a prison for human consciousness. I believe that a lot of the Egyptian culture and mummification and all sorts of stuff that the Egyptians did was designed to allow your soul to escape from the prison that is this planet. But, I mean, that's a whole other show. So I'm very questionable about people who say they've been to any planet by anybody, unless they've been there as consciousness. But anybody who claims to have been physically lifted into a spaceship and taken to another planet, I am highly questionable of. I think that there's a very good reason why nobody has ever gone past the moon in this current reality. You notice they've sent manned spaceships out to the moon, but they've never sent anybody past the moon. It would take 6 months to get to Mars, but they've never sent anybody to Mars. I think there's a reason for that. So, yeah, I question all of that sort of stuff personally.
Okay, thank you. Sportra would like for me to ask you to elaborate on what we used to be able to do.
Well, again, all I can do is speculate, but what I would say is that through my experience, I've found that there are 105 higher senses. We live in a five-sense reality, and there are actually 105 higher senses that we are capable of communicating with reality with in the same way as we use our five senses now. We just don't know how to decode the information. We're already operating within these 105 higher senses, but we don't know how to decode the information we're receiving. One of them we can vaguely perceive is the electromagnetic language, because this is manifest through emotion. When we feel in an emotional state, we can feel an electromagnetic change in our body, and we're communicating electromagnetically with the field around us when we're in this state, when we're in any emotional state. So I think that when you look around at the monuments that we have, the pyramids, the incredible precision of the pyramids, the way the Mayan structures were built, which I believe was built through softening stone, I mentioned this in a book that I wrote in 2005, which is available for free on thecrowhouse.com, my website. I think that all of these things we were able to do this through our higher senses. I can only really speculate on what they are. I've had meditations where I've connected with the field in phenomenal ways, and I've been left in tears. There was one particular meditation I had where I collapsed in tears at the end of it and cried for about 6 hours or 6.5 hours because of the connection that I'd made to reality. So I know these senses exist and I've experienced them. And I know that we're only limited by our perception of what we can do. We are only limited by our imagination and our belief of what we can do, which is not really a belief, it's a knowing. Now, we know we can't levitate, so therefore we can't levitate. But if we know we can levitate, then we can levitate. But it's a knowing. And a knowing is that deeper knowing. I mean, knowing, when I'm saying knowing, I'm not saying knowledge that you get from a book. That's intellectualism. It's knowing. You know what you are. You know you are an energy being. You know you are connected to creation. You know you are capable of much higher things than what you are now. That's what we are capable of. And I believe this is what, again, Egyptian culture, this is what it was all based on. It was about educating people in these higher senses. I believe a lot of the ancient Egyptian temples were actually books. You would walk into a temple, the temple would create an energy field. You would literally feel it, like a palpable feeling. And all the hieroglyphs and all the instructions on the walls to the layman would just look like pretty pictures, but to the initiate would tell you what that feeling was, what that energy was, what that language was, and how it could be harnessed and spoken back to reality. That's what the Egyptian culture was founded on. So, yeah, I believe we're capable of much, much more than we are capable of now. I don't personally believe that aliens were responsible for the building of all those ancient monuments. I believe possibly there was intervention, as I mentioned earlier, possibly genetic intervention. Possibly we got some of our knowledge of reality from higher beings or higher sources, but ultimately I believe that it was done through our emotions. It was done through our access to these higher languages. That's how I believe we achieved all of the things that exist in the ancient world.
Okay, thank you. Watch Now asks, could you please ask Max about NASA and the moon and his thoughts, please?
Well, NASA was created by the Nazis. NASA is an organization used to milk money out of the U.S. government for black budgets. Well, they send a tin can up into space now and then to make us think that they're doing something. All they've really done is help put in a satellite grid that is going to be used to further the transhumanist agenda, and it's also a surveillance grid. They've probably got a lot of weapons platforms up there as well. Ultimately, it was founded by the Nazi empire. That's what NASA's all about, you know. Von Braun, all the people that were involved in it. See, after World War II, World War II was a beta test. The whole Nazi empire was just a beta test. All the Nazis that were in control of the place, they all got funneled out through Operation Paperclip, through the Vatican. They all came into America and South America. They founded NASA, CIA, NSA, all these organizations. These are all Nazi think tanks, basically. See, Nazis didn't lose the war. Germany lost the war. The Nazis were simply what you would perhaps call the Illuminati Special Ops Division. They went out there and they conducted a beta test on Germany. Okay, this is how it all works. This is all the mind control stuff we need. And we'll use this to set up Israel so Israel can create all this instability. We'll move all the scientists out. We'll develop NASA for black budgets and we'll develop all the police state that we want to put around the world. That's what they've been doing. I mean, World War II didn't essentially finish, if you want to look at it that way. It just went underground and then they permeated it out through the rest of the world. Germany was just where they did the test. For what they've been doing, so that's what I think NASA is. It's just a place that they've used to put up all the satellites, to put in the control system, and to milk all the money that they've used for black budgets. A lot of it goes out through NASA. I don't think it bears any real relation to space exploration at all. As far as the moon goes, I have severe questions about the moon. I've questioned the moon ever since I was a child. There is so many things wrong with the moon. There is so many things that suggest the moon should not be there. It's a lot easier to prove its non-existence than it is to prove its existence. And none of the theories that have been put forth where it come from make any sense at all. And I would severely suggest that it's artificial. And I've said that for a long time. It very much appears to be hollow, and that's just because of its electromagnetic properties and its orbital characteristics and the way satellites behave when they orbit it. There's certain magnetic areas. I mean, so much. There's so much about the moon that doesn't make sense. So, yeah, nothing would surprise me. I mean, obviously, I haven't been there, so I can't pass on any first-hand information. Again, all I can do is speculate, but I would very much suggest that it's not real and that it's part of the control grid. I've often speculated that the eye in the pyramid that no one can seem to find may well be looking at us from the sky.
Wow. Okay, thank you. The Nobody asks, what's the best way for humanity to unite to put a stop to the powers that be, and how can we defeat the New World Order?
Well, the best way for humanity to unite is to lead by example in all that you do. I believe there's only one law to creation, and that is service to creation. And that includes you. That includes everybody around you, treating people like yourself. If you lead by example and create ripples in your community and show people a better way, and know who and what you are, understand the trust agreement that exists between yourself and government, and always stand in that trust. Lead by example in what you do. Be respectful when you're dealing with these people, because most of the people that are in positions of authority don't know what they're doing. They're locked into that left brain system. Until you start getting to the really high echelons of society, the people are just trained to be the way they are. So when you approach these people, don't do it from a perspective of hatred and anger. Do it so from a perspective of love. But don't back down. Don't back down from being who and what you are. Know that this is a trust agreement. You've got to respect people. You've absolutely got to respect people. Always be honorable. I finish every radio show with In La Cache. I'm another yourself. And that's how I approach every single person that I come in contact with. I always believe they have something for me and I have something for them. And they are a beautiful, wonderful frequency of the same consciousness that I belong to. Ultimately, always come from the same source. We all come from the same source. Everything comes from the same source. And so that's the way I approach everybody and everything that I come in contact with. And I won't back down to these people, but I'll always treat them with respect. Like I said, a lot of the police in town here, they know me now and they have a healthy respect for me. They don't attack me because they know they can't get away with it. And, you know, we've sort of developed this relationship with each other. And I believe that everybody can do this, but they first have to know who and what they are. We tend to attack the system, and you can't attack the system because the system is just an idea. It's just a meme. It's smoke and mirrors. It's a cloud. You're fighting a ghost. By attacking it, you're giving it power. You attack it by not participating in it. You attack it by understanding it's not real, by doing what you can to improve reality by your presence in it. And if someone comes and gets in the way and says you're starting to breach legislations, then you take it back to trust. You always stand in that trust agreement. If you're doing something to improve reality, to improve your society, to improve your community, you know, we've put common unity back in the community. That's something that we don't do. That's what community is supposed to mean, but it has none. Our community is desired to be divided. So put common unity back in your community. Lead by example in all that you do. Get to know your neighbors. They're not a threat to you. You're perfect. How can they be a threat to you? No one else can be you. How can anyone interfere with your ability to be you? So how can anyone be a threat to you? If you're judging people by what they own or what they look like or what they have, well, you're missing the point. So that's the way you have to do it. I mean, I believe anyway. You've got to lead by example in what you do. You've got to improve reality by your presence in it, treat other people as valid, and just know of the trust agreement that exists between yourself and government. That's where the remedy lies. You know, so know yourself. Know yourself. You know yourself, and you find your truth, and the truth will set you free.
Okay. Well, this question kind of ties in with that. Omega asks, why isn't there a few special force guys that have a clue on how to deal with the elite?
Well, special force guys, I mean, I'm not quite sure what you mean by special force guys. Guys in the special forces, guys who work in the authorities, is that what we're talking about?
I think they mean specially trained to take them out, possibly.
Well, again, what's that going to do? I mean, what's that going to do? If you take out the elite, you go and attack them, what are you going to do? You're going to put another dictator in place? What are you going to do about the system? Because the problem isn't the elite. The problem's the system. The system exists because we comply with the system. So stop complying with the system. We're forced to comply with the system because we're divided from each other. We don't have that common unity in our community. So put the common unity back in community and stop complying with the system. It's just an idea. It's just fiction. There's no good taking out the elite to become what you hate. You know, I'm going to go and oppress the oppressor, so therefore I become the oppressor. I've just become that which I hate. I don't care about the elite. They don't exist to me. I don't care what they did. I don't care what anybody did. I only care what we do from this point forward. Now we're aware of the problem. Now, for the first time in history, we've been made aware of the problem, and we've got the internet. We've got the ability to communicate this information to everybody. We can finally get people to understand that they're living in a meme. They're living in a construct. It's a matrix, and we're all kept divided from each other, and the solution is to see each other as valid and put common unity back in the community, and the whole system crumbles. We don't have to lift a finger. We don't have to take out anybody, you know. I don't hate the elite. I feel ultimate pity for the elite. I feel very, very sorry for the psychopathic nature of their consciousness. I feel very sorry that they will never be able to connect to reality the way I can, the way I can connect to my human beings, my fellow mankind, the way I can. The love and the joy that I experience every day just by going outside and looking at a leaf on a tree, they will never experience that. I feel ultimate sorry for these people. And I don't care what they did. You know, I know that it's just a result of this psychopathic consciousness, and I know it's there now. So now I have the means to escape from it because I know of its existence. That's the only way you can free yourself from the pathogen that is this society, and the base foundation of this society is by knowing of its existence. And by knowing of its existence, you're automatically freed from it, because you start operating in a different level. You start operating from a different vibration. So to me, that's the solution. I mean, sure, there may be some people that can go and take them out, but hey, good luck. I don't think it'll do any good, because you've still got the system. You know, you've got to deal with the system itself and what the system feeds on. You've got to deprive the system of its food, and its food is the energy of the people that believe it's real.
Okay, thank you. The Trickster states, Max has used the term shadow work before in one of his shows that I listened to, so he'll know what I'm getting at, I guess. Can you ask him if he can address the issue of doing shadow work and any tips on getting through it, because it's pretty intense? Thank you, and I love you, Max.
Well, everything we've really been talking about today is to do with shadow work. It's finding the truth in yourself, knowing that there is a darker part of you. We're all capable of doing dark things. We all are. But here's where the trick is. We've been taught that all the evil that exists in the world is being perpetrated by us, because we are all capable of doing all these evil things. You know, but this evil exists externally to ourselves. It's those people that are doing it, and it's not us, but we're all capable of it. Well, you know, that's not really true in many ways, because we're all capable of doing evil. I'm capable of killing someone. In a moment of passion, we are all capable of killing someone. This happens, you snap, bang, you kill someone. But are you capable of sitting down and methodically planning to murder someone? Big difference, huge difference. One is a moment of passion, and one is pure evil. That is the difference. One is a natural reaction to emotion, and one is psychopathic. You know, so it's knowing that the system functions because of our fear of the system, our fear of being who and what we are. We're constantly looking for truth externally to ourselves. As I said earlier, the truth is ourselves. You are your truth. That is the only truth you will ever truly 100% be able to validate, is yourself. And it's by understanding the part of the shadow of you that can do these things, that is capable of those things, but knowing where it sits in the food chain, it's not the same as what you've been led to believe. The world isn't a dark place because of the collective shadow of humankind. It's, you know, the humankind has basically been placed in this shadow. We've been placed in this collective fear through fear-based mind control. And you can look at this system, and you can go into fear of this system, but really what you're in fear of is fear of yourself, in fear of exercising the power that you currently have. And to me, that's the real shadow work, is knowing the truth within yourselves. And that's where it's all been leading to. And that's basically a lot of what we've been talking about on the show today is shadow work. It's not pointing the finger, not going down the rabbit holes, knowing that the answer lies.
Okay, Max, so another question. Are you ready for it?
Okay.
Okay. Seek Truth asks, first he says, thank you for joining us at GLP tonight. I am a proponent of election reform to face some of these difficult problems to allow us to elect like-minded candidates. Where do you stand, or what is your opinion of election reform to effect change?
Well, it would have to be massive reform. If the thing is, the problem with electing people to operate within the parameters of the current system is that they're forced to work within essentially psychopathic parameters, because the whole system is a psychopathic system. I mean, reform needs to start from the ground up. We need a complete restructuring of this system. We need to put everything back into natural law and trust law and start from there, start again. That's what we need to do. So, yeah, election reform, but massive, massive reform from the ground up is what's needed. Anything else simply won't suffice. There's no way you're going to affect real positive change if you're forced to work within the parameters of anything like the current system.
Okay, he also says, I hear you saying that we must have better ethics in our society and our world. Do you believe it would be more effective to implement good ethics at the bottom or at the top to effect change?
At the bottom. I mean, at the bottom and the top, but ultimately it's got to start at the grassroots. It needs to be indelibly imprinted into the education system. I mean, I think the whole system needs to be based on empathy. Empathy should be the base foundation stone of this entire system, whether it be the social system or the legal system or the education system. It needs to be based on empathy, the whole lot. That's what we're missing. See, that's the emotion that's basically missing from the elite. That's the emotion that's missing from a psychopathic mentality, is empathy. So that needs to be the basis of our social structure and of everything. And yeah, ethics, absolutely. But yeah, what is ethics? If ethics isn't based in empathy, then what is it? So you've got to have empathy as the foundation stone, I believe.
Okay, the next question is from Citizens Perth, who asks, is what makes us individuals expendable or recyclable within the system, or does it work with enlightenment and VS reincarnation?
What makes us expendable? Well, the system makes us expendable. That's the thing. Reincarnation, again, I can speculate. I can only speculate. I would say that reincarnation is a reality, because of some of the things that I've experienced in my life and some of the information that I've got that points to the existence of reincarnation. And, of course, if you can conceive of us being a single consciousness, if you understand how your body works and you realize this is simply a biological computer that you're downloading one particular frequency of consciousness, then ultimately we're all each other anyway. So we all experience life as each other. So, I mean, that puts a whole new light on reincarnation. But I believe the first step of enlightenment is in self-realization. It's in knowing who and what you are. Until you understand your own truth, you'll never get anywhere. See, we're always looking for self-help books. We're always looking for ways of doing this without looking within. We're looking for reincarnation. Perhaps reincarnation will bring me enlightenment. Perhaps after I've gone through a certain amount of lives, I will be enlightened. Well, if you can understand that the 7 billion people on this planet at the moment, they're all belonging to a single consciousness, and that's 7 billion lives to go through. That's a lot of lives. Now, what if you were to just realize that that's what reality is, and to find your own personal truth within yourself, within this life? And that is the first stage of enlightenment, because once you have that truth within yourself, the rest of it comes through. There's things called the seven pillars of wisdom, oriental wisdom. Yeah, there's seven pillars of wisdom in your life that you need to find. Well, the very first one of them is self-realization. That's what you need right from the word go. And when you found that inner truth, the rest comes naturally.
Okay, thank you. I have one question left, and it's from Grimlord, and he would like to know, what's your opinion of the movie The Fourth Kind?
Interesting, interesting film based on Sumerian texts. You know, it was fiction, of course, but very interesting. I mean, it's interesting that there's so many films coming out now that are basically telling humankind that they had better evolve their consciousness or they're not going to survive what's coming. And this, again, very much ties in with transhumanism and everything we've been talking about on the show today. Now, I said earlier, we're basically at a crossroads. We've been given an ultimatum. We need to wake up to who and what we are, or we're going to be led down a path where human consciousness will no longer exist in this form. And I think it's very interesting that they would put out something like that in that film. Like I said, I believe it to be fantasy because I haven't found anything similar to that in any research I've done into Sumerian texts. But it's interesting that that's where it's based in. And it's interesting the message that it contains. I mean, all of these films contain subtext. I believe most of Hollywood tells you what's going on, and they tell you about the choices that you have. And even with the Australian Prime Minister saying this is a trust agreement, all of these things are telling you you've got to come into your consciousness. You've got to be aware of what's going on here. You've got to start having this common unity and community. You've got to start respecting yourself. By respecting others, you've got to start serving creation. And that's what I think the message is, because if you don't do that, if humanity does not finally come into this awareness of themselves, then the program's going to run out. And that's it. It's game over. And we start again from scratch. So that's what I think was contained within that movie.
Okay, thank you. I have another question of my own. I have a small round rock that I found here in Ohio, and it's about a tennis ball size. And you had something about that in one of your sites, and I was wondering what your thoughts are about these round balls of rocks. They're rocks, but they're round.
They're round,
and smooth.
And they got parallel lines around the middle?
I guess it has a partial parallel line. It doesn't go all the way around, though.
Okay, there's one. The ones that I'm talking about are stones that have been found in Africa. I don't know if they've been found in America, but they've been found in deep mines in Africa. And they're obviously man-made. I mean, they're perfectly round balls. They're perfectly balanced. They've got parallel lines around them. I've been speculating that these are possibly something similar to a CD. Like, and that might sound pretty outrageous to people, but there's talk in Sumerian texts about these devices that you can hold in your hand that they called MEs, and they contain vast amounts of information. And I wouldn't be surprised if these balls are something like that, something that was used as a data storage system, something like that. I mean, who knows what sort of technology they had back then. But they're found in deep, deep mines, and some of them are in strata that is supposedly like 2 billion years old. So, I mean, it's outrageous. Either their dating's wrong or you know, something. But, I mean, it doesn't seem comprehensible they could be that old. But they definitely seem to be man-made, and I just wonder what they are. I'd love to get a hold of one. I'd love to actually see one in my hands, one of these balls, and check it out. But they've had them balanced. They've put them, taken them to NASA, and they've had them balanced with NASA's gyroscopes and things, and they actually exceeded the measurements of the gyroscopes. So They're quite amazing, these balls. God knows where they come from. But again, this shows that history is wrong. History cannot be the way they told us it was, because if it was, then things like this wouldn't exist. It's as simple as that. Even one of these types of artifacts causes you to question history. But when there are hundreds and hundreds of different artifacts lying all around the planet, then you have to say, well, obviously history is completely wrong. So, yeah, I can only speculate, but they're fascinating, fascinating balls. That's great if you've got one.
Yes. Well, I take my grandchildren rock hunting and, you know, fossil hunting and such, but I found other things here around Ohio and Upper Kentucky as well. And if you're ever up here in southern Ohio, you know, give me a call. I'll show it to you, you know. But I really appreciate you taking the time tonight, and that concludes our audience questions, and I'd like to turn the mic back over to 23 now. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Isis. Those are some really good questions. And Max, if you'd stick around with us for a second after the close, I would really appreciate it. Is that okay?
Yeah, I can give you a couple of minutes. I'm running a bit late, but yeah.
Great. I appreciate it. You know, I just wanted to say to you before we close out that, you know, a great outlook on life, man. You have a wonderful spirit, and I really appreciate the way that you kind of bring the perception up, quit pointing fingers towards individuals or groups or societies, and just realize it's a group consciousness thing, and we all do come from the same source, and we're all in this together. If you think you're hurting somebody else on the other side of the world and it doesn't affect you, it does. You're hurting yourself. And, yeah, just incredible optimism. And I'm with you there. So definitely not hopeless optimism, like you said, but certainly optimism, and that's what we need to do. So thank you so much for making it here tonight. Really appreciate it. And, Ben, I'm going to turn the mic over to you for close.
All right, thanks, 23. GLPVC's The Raw Feed would like to thank our guest, Max Egan, for sharing with us his philosophies, research, and wisdom into the world as we didn't know it. Check out his videos at his site, thecrowhouse.com. Thanks to the VC team, Jay, Isis, Jadio, Kingman Art, who joined us late, Hubnuts, and 2342. You guys rock. Next week, folks, Rags is back while I'm on temporary leave. Join us Monday, June 18th for a doubleheader. Jim Keaty on Sweatshops, 11 p.m. Sonia Barrett, midnight. Tuesday, June 19th, Stephen Mailer, Crystal Skulls. Tuesday, June 20th, Lon Milo Duquette, Alistair Crowley's The Book of Toth. Thursday, June 21st, Ty Bollinger, Natural Cancer Treatments. That's it for tonight, folks. The podcast will be up shortly. This has been a GLP Voice Chat presentation. Good night.